We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zadroik, joined by Chris Owen. Game week 32 in the Premier League. We were just talking a few days ago. Chris just lost a couple more bets. It's been a brutal week. Chris here. We are fresh off. Chris is fresh off. We are talking Friday, April 5th, less than 24 hours ago. It's still fresh in Chris's mind. Manchester United were up 3-2, and then in the 99th minute, and then 100.
Yeah.
90 plus 9, 90 plus 10. Mm-hmm. We got two Cole Palmer goals for Chelsea to win, and then Manchester United double chance, which is what Chris's bet was for that to lose. So, Chris, good morning. You're on your second cup of coffee. So hopefully everything's all right.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, great way to start the show here. Lost a couple very tight ones last week. You mentioned already United. Oh my God, the game was electric. It was so good to watch. But unless you bet Manchester United double chance, it wasn't good to watch. I was feeling really confident. I couldn't catch the last bit of it, but that Antony assist to Garnacho was just a thing of beauty. That outside the foot. Garnacho like deftly chips it over with his little header. That was such a sick goal. And then I couldn't watch the rest of it. And I look back and there's Cole Palmer at the spot, 90th minute plus 8. And then, you know, leave it to Man United to just leave the best player on the pitch unmarked on a corner kick in stoppage time. Like, what the heck? So I was disappointing. Lost another disappointing one in that West Ham Tottenham game, two teams I will probably never bet on for the rest of the season. But anyways, I'm not here to dwell on the past. Let's keep it moving.
Should I tell you that you have a West Ham bet in our team parlay?
I know I have one. But yeah, not going to dwell on what happened last week or the week before or any of the other weeks here. We're talking game week 32. We got a packed slate. It's a beautiful slate. Got a big tilt later. We got a couple important. We got the Sean Dyche derby here, I guess. So I'm fired up about this week. I'm not worried about last week.
Yeah, we're just looking ahead. We're looking to the future. For me, I hit some bets, so I don't have anything more to say. Chelsea finished with 28 shots. I had 20 or more shots. Somehow that was plus odds. I'm still kind of wondering how Chelsea at home against Manchester United was plus odds to get 20 or more shots. I looked up that bet for, I guess we're going to talk about it, but Liverpool to have 20 or more shots in this game against Manchester United. At Manchester United, it's like minus 300 or something. So weird. Seems like the odds were a little off for that Chelsea-Manchester United one. But we're talking Manchester United-Liverpool as a third one. We also got Brighton-Arsenal. But as Chris said, we're starting with the Sean Dyche derby here. Sean Dyche derby, SDD. Also, we got some Bundesliga bets up on the site. If you want to bet some German football, we got some bets over there as well. We got Borussia Dortmund and the cover photo. What do we got? Everton are home against Burnley. And Everton won the prior meeting 2-0. Let's click into the odds here. Check out RotoWire. betonline.com/betting/soccer to get all these soccer odds over on the Premier League or any of the leagues that we cover. So we got Everton are sitting here at minus 150 to win, which seems kind of extreme.
Insane.
It seems extreme because I can't remember the last time they won a match.
I can. December 16th against Burnley, 2-0.
Oh, okay. Last time these teams played. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Burnley are coming off, I think, four straight matches getting points as well. Yeah. So we have Everton minus 150 to win. Burnley are plus 400 to win. The draw is plus 310. And then we're getting over 2.5 goals, minus 130, under 2.5 goals, plus 105. Not really anything of note injury-wise. These teams are pretty much the same as midweek. As is always the question with this third match in 7 or 8 days, this third one is kind of when you're going to get a little more unexpected lineup rotation. Not sure what this means for either one of these teams, but I guess midweek we did get Ashley Young starting over Jack Harrison. There's a chance Andre Gomez could start for Everton. Again, not major things that will happen here, but things that could happen. So what do we think here? You think Sean Dyche can get 6 points from Burnley, or maybe a little bit of revenge here from what do we got? Charlie Taylor, former Sean Dyche player. That's really it, I guess.
Was there anyone else in this lineup that was?
But he's been coming off the bench. Goodmunson and Brownhill would be the other two, but they've been coming off the bench.
Yeah. So really, only Charlie Taylor is the only one who played under Dyche. Yeah, interesting. Like this is so bad that it's so good. We've got an Everton team, like I said, whose last win came in December over Burnley 2-0. They've scored over, I believe, one goal. They've scored over 1.5 goals or two. Let's call it 2 goals. once in the past, whatever, like 15 matches or so, they can't find the back of the net to save their life. I would be, if I wasn't so locked on my bet and the odds, I would definitely consider an Everton under 1.5 goals. The last, I think they scored twice against Tottenham, and that was the only other time that they were able to manage more than one goal. So keep an eye on that one if you're really interested. They just can't find the back of the net. I think, you know, just knowing Everton and just the two kind of contrasting styles here, I'm going to just completely get off this game because they're two bad teams that are, you know, arguably both should be relegated. So I'm actually on a corners bet here. I think Burnley, they come out strong. Everton, you know, maybe takes a little bit to get into the match. I don't have a strong enough bet to bet on either team. So I love the race to three corners here, getting plus 190 odds. And I'm taking Burnley, excuse me, to get to three corners first here. And this one should, if we're going to know whether it hits in probably like the first, like, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, maybe earlier. So I just love the 190 plus 190 odds here. And I think this helps me get back on the right track after a couple tough weeks. And we should know right pretty quickly. So
pretty quickly. I just had to look up some XG numbers while you're talking about Everton's struggles of scoring. They are 20 below their XG in terms of goals scored this season, which is of course worse than the league.
Let's keep Beto and Calvert-Lewin in the starting lineup. Does it break down individuals? Because that would be interesting.
Could probably figure that out.
Yeah,
we could figure that out.
There's a few players to like on this Everton team. Branthwaite is a really solid player. Like, I've enjoyed watching Decore and Onana, but like outside, and maybe Dwight McNeil, but outside of that, it's kind of like not the best.
I've
ever seen.
Calvert-Lewin just scored in the last match, and he said it's going to give him the boost of confidence. Do you believe in that?
Oh, jeez.
It was a PK as well.
Yeah, I mean, the boost of confidence. Tough to bet against that.
I'm pulling up these XG numbers. Danjuma's numbers aren't very good, just in terms of XG and what he's actually done. Let's see, Calvert-Lewin 10.52 XG and 4 goals scored.
Yeah. Oh, dude, but he got the boost in confidence. So maybe he's
he is the worst one. So that's 6.5 extra XG over what he's actually scored. Decore's 2.4. Beto's 3 because he hasn't played as much. And then Danjuma, Tarkowski's even there. I guess he's had a bunch of headers that should have gone in. So a lot of stuff like that. I was on your our bets are kind of similar here is what I'll say, but they are different. So I was actually on Burnley race to 5 corners. But I looked a little bit more in the numbers. I tried to look at it a little bit here. Everton haven't played at home in a little bit. I think they've been away from home their last 3 matches. So that part is kind of worrying, just getting back at Goodison, getting back at home for Everton, giving them a boost. They got a point in their last match. That was the reason I lost a little bit in the Everton at Newcastle one. I didn't really take into account Newcastle at home, short week kind of thing. So I do like race to 5, though. That one, I think it was plus 245, something like that. But either way, I think Burnley are going to get corners. I think we're both on that. Everton, bottom 3 in terms of possession. Burnley usually have more possession than Everton have. So the one thing is that this is at Everton. But Burnley have been playing well. So I got Burnley over 4.5 corners is plus 125. I like that number just enough because it is still plus odds that I still don't have to go to like the race to 5 corners kind of thing. But race to 3 corners, plus 190 for Chris. I got over 4.5 corners at plus 125. Maybe Burnley don't get 5 corners, but I think they do. I think that this is an interesting match. You know, it was 2-0 in the first time around, but the way that Everton are playing, Burnley are playing a little better. Then you got the third match in 7 or 8 days, which kind of adds a little bit to this as well. I just think we're both on like no confidence for Everton at this point. I guess that's kind of what this bet is.
Yeah, is Burnley a deeper team, you think?
No.
You think there's a little more roster depth on Everton?
I mean, like if you look at the rosters, like it just depends on what you think of what these players are, kind of thing. Like they're starting Vitinho as a fullback. Like, how much do you like Charlie Taylor? How much do you like Dara O'Shea? I mean, they brought a couple guys in the transfer window. Odo Bears, I think he's still a teenager. He's come on a little bit. Bruin Larson probably can't find starts on any other club outside of the relegated ones.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Fofana, he's catching on a little bit. Foster, I mean, how is he going to be starting for any other club?
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he picked up some injury.
Pretty good in the beginning of the season, but yeah, that's fair. I mean, this
like I think if you just compare 1-to-1, even just like the lineups, I think I like basically every position for Everton.
Yeah,
maybe outside of forward over Burnley.
Yeah, that's fair. Going back to these corner spots, in the last match, it was 8 corners for Burnley, 6 for Everton. So I'm not sure in terms for the race to 3 corners, I'm not sure how that ended up, but it's not like Everton or Burnley didn't get any corners. They kind of stacked corners here. So I actually really do like the over bet here for you. A little more nervous about the race to 3 corners, but that's, you know.
Yeah, it just depends how they come out, how these teams come out. As you said, we're going to find out pretty soon. Yeah, I was just gonna say, like a guy like Danjuma who just can't get time. I know he's hurt right now, but guy can't get time at Everton. He'd probably be a regular starter for Burnley. Like he would be starting over Bruin Larson basically. So I think that kind of explains where the talent level is. Granted, we also have a 6-point drop for Everton, so that also comes into play.
Huge match. Huge match.
Yeah. Next game we got, this is later Saturday. We got a pretty busy Saturday. I think there's 7 games on Saturday. Brighton are home against Arsenal. Brighton plus 450 to win. Arsenal minus 165. Pretty big number here against Brighton. Draws plus 320. And then we're getting over 2.5 goals is minus 150. Under 2.5 goals is plus 120. Not really anything new injury-wise. I guess we do have the Saka thing going on. Arteta doesn't really give much information on that, so we don't really know the exact status, but it's assumed that he was kind of rested against Luton Town midweek and he's going to be fine for this one. But maybe, you know, that assumption's incorrect, so we'll see what happens there. Otherwise, Brighton have had a few injuries on and off all season, and I don't think their lineup really changes from what they had midweek. But I think this is a pretty interesting game just because Brighton, the way Brighton have been playing, a little lower scoring. They don't have all their attacking options in there, and some of these games have been lower scoring, which I guess I'm kind of giving my bet away a little bit. But what's your initial take on this match?
Yeah, you mentioned it's been lower scoring for Brighton, just probably because of the way they've been forced to play from lineup decisions. But like these, the head-to-head comparison on these two teams has been like quite a few. I mean, I guess earlier this season, Arsenal won 2-0, but you look back at a few other matches, 3-0, 4-2, 3-1, 2-1, like quite a few goals. But I do think that like De Zerbi's going to be, he's going to have to be a little bit more conservative here against Arsenal. I was like, initial thought was, what's the Trossard anytime goal scoring odds for a little revenge game here against his former club? I looked that up. That's at a +180. If you love a good revenge game, I don't know if it's as much as revenge as it is he just moved on to a new club. But I initially here, I'm first two bets right out of the gates are corners bets. I'm on Arsenal. I think they're one of the top teams in terms of taking corners. They are. Yeah, I guess Man City Man City, yeah, they're averaging over 7.5 corners a game. Arsenal at 7.4. So I'm like, you know, first initial impression there is, all right, let's go see if we can find an Arsenal over bet on the corners. Brighton, on the other hand, pretty good at not conceding a ton of corners, but the numbers set at 5.5 here for Arsenal. So I'm all over this Arsenal over 5.5 corners at -115. I think Brighton's going to have to sit back. That Arsenal expected to possess this quite a bit. I think it probably, I mean, I wouldn't take this in the first half, but like I feel pretty confident as that Arsenal are going to be able to have at least six corners in this game.
Yeah, I was trying to look back in the season just in like similar matchups for Brighton, but they haven't played Man City at home yet. They had the Liverpool game was 2-2, but that's not really the same kind of matchup. I was just trying to look for similar matchups, but I couldn't really find anything. And then you see that one earlier in the season, the 2-0 where 10 yeah. corners to one corner, but yeah. You know, at Arsenal, at Brighton, I think a little different here. I do think it's going to go kind of similar though. We talked about Arsenal a couple times recently, and every time it's just like, well, they probably have the best defense in Europe right now. And that's kind of what my bet is leaning on. And then you combine that with some of the struggles that Brighton have had, just in terms of their injuries, just in terms of the players available to them. You know, Carlos Baleba, this defensive midfielder, just a guy who's kind of being forced into more time than he probably was. De Zerbi probably expected from him when he came on. I think it was before the season. Motors getting a bunch of minutes, but just guys like Gilmore. Gilmore is a new injury that's kind of adding to the situation. And Ferguson really hasn't been as good as he was last season. I think he had a hat trick early on, but that's kind of been it for him. Then Mitoma and then March. And I just don't think they've really figured things out. Kind of got that a little bit in that Brentford-Brighton match midweek when they had so many opportunities, they just couldn't score. I just don't think they have that like final touch right now. The final finishing bit for them. So you combine that with Arsenal's defense, them being away from home. And I originally had under 2.5. I think that's like minus or maybe +110 or something like that. I went a little safer though in this weird, I've never done a single game parlay like this on the show, but once in a while I'll throw in just like a simple first half bet that kind of leans towards what I want in the overall. So this is a single game parlay. You just got to do under 1.5 goals in the first half and then under 3.5 goals full time. And it's -110 odds. So this is kind of instead of the under 2.5, instead of, you know, being worried for the 3-0 or 2-1 result kind of a thing, that falls under this, assuming you don't get two first half goals. But I think you were leaning towards the over, weren't you? How do you feel about this?
I considered it, but I mean, you kind of laid out the reasons maybe not to, but I mean, I considered it because of those previous results I mentioned, the 3-0s, the 4-2s, 3-1, 2-1. Brighton's given Arsenal trouble the last couple seasons. So, earlier this season, it was a pretty thorough win for Arsenal. Like you mentioned, 10 corners to one corner, 2-0. But, outside of that, Brighton had won the last three of the four over Arsenal. They've beat them on the road. And three of those three wins were all on the road. So, I don't know. I think Arsenal are just like in too great of form to drop points here to Brighton. But this is an interesting bet from you. I don't think we've ever had this style of bet on the show. Yeah. So you really got creative here. But
yeah, I just like the in case we get one of those 3-0, 2-1 kind of things that kind of prevents you from losing that bet. So the last time we talked about these teams, played December 17th, and I think I kind of remember it, but Brighton were was in a 30 match or however many matches of not being held scoreless. And then they're held scoreless against Arsenal. And then since that game, dating back to first match of January here, West Ham held them scoreless. Wolverhampton held them scoreless. Luton Town held them scoreless. So what is that? 3. Fulham held them scoreless. 4. And then Brentford. So that's 5 matches in 2024 that they've been held scoreless. So that just kind of shows like their tack's not clicking here. So it's another reason why I'm just going with I'm leaning towards the under between these teams. And we just had this Arsenal 2-0 match where, you know, they get a couple goals and kind of kill the game a little bit there. So that's what I'm leaning. Chris has over 5.5 corners. The big game of the weekend, I guess we'll say big game because this is, the last time these teams played is still fresh in Chris's mind a little bit in the FA Cup. So that was 3 weeks ago now, I guess. That was before the international break. So we got Manchester United home at Old Trafford. We got these odds are the same pretty much as what we had for Brighton and Arsenal. So I guess we're looking at this like Manchester United are Brighton and Liverpool are Arsenal. So we got Manchester United plus 370 to win. Those odds have actually gone up quite a bit here in the last 2 days. Manchester United were plus 310. Now they're plus 370. I'm not sure what's changed. I guess injuries on the back line. But Liverpool minus 165 to win. The draw is plus 380. And then the goals will be over 3.5 is minus 120. Under 3.5. is plus 100. So as I mentioned, the injuries, we'll see what happens with this Manchester United back line because Harry Maguire started last game, but Rafael Varane picked up some injury, went off at halftime of that game. Casemiro also left in that game, so we can get Scott McTominay starting again. And then Johnny Evans came on for Varane, but he only made it 20 minutes. And then some teenager, I think, had to come on to close the match. His name's escaping me because I don't think I've ever said it before, but that's the backline situation for Manchester United. Liverpool are getting pretty close to healthy, but no real updates in terms of their injuries.
Yeah, you mentioned it, seared in my brain here. The last couple times they played actually, the league game at home at Anfield, 0-0, one of the most interesting ways that I think I've seen United play Liverpool is just like, it was like Everton showing up against a top four team, just like sitting back and playing pretty tight. And then, credit to United, they just battled back and they were down 3 separate times and, found the equalizer through Antony. And then I think it was Adama who scored the late winner. They could have won it in regular time too. I think Rashford missed a sitter there kind of at the end as he was through on goal. So, credit to United for that one. I think we see, I've been tossing together these Manchester United bets in recent weeks here, and they've been finding like heart wrenching ways to lose them for me. So it's, on two end of the spectrum, both ends of the spectrum here, I'm just, sick of betting on United. Nothing hurt more than that double chance that missed yesterday afternoon. So that being said here, this is, what was formerly one of the biggest matchups. I think it still is one of the biggest matchups in the league. I just pulled up our we bet on this game earlier in the season. It was game week 17 on December 15th, and I was trying to see what I bet on that game. I think I went to the well. I went to the honey hole on that bet, and I went it missed because it was 0-0, and I had a Mo Salah anytime goal scoring with a Liverpool money line bet. And as I mentioned, credit to United, they took the draw out of that one. And I just looked that back up, and you can make that bet again, which I would have been a funny to run it back twice here, but you can get that bet at plus 130 odds for a same game parlay. But that's not what I'm going with. I am going with I'm on the much higher odds here. I like Liverpool to win by two goals. It's minus 1.5 is plus 140. I think you kind of mentioned a bit of the United's issues from defensive injuries. I think Liverpool, they returned Curtis Jones. They've got pretty much most of everyone in the that would start aside from Alisson and Trent back in the starting 11. Mo has looked a little bit off the pace, so that's probably why I'm not taking that same game parlay I mentioned. But I think other than that, like they've shown they're super deep. They in these games where they kind of, you know, United Sheffield United scored, they scored on an own goal yesterday, and they just make adjustments here, and I haven't really seen that United are able to make adjustments necessarily. So I think, you know, it's probably a pretty tight first half, and then second half Liverpool pull away. They you know, make a couple key substitutions that are able to help this bet hit. But yeah, that's where I'm at on this game.
Not to pour salt in the wound here, but you didn't mention when we took our FA Cup team parlay a few weeks ago, you had Liverpool money line.
I did. Over two on these. This is third time's a charm, Matt.
If you would have hit that, then we could have won our parlay.
Yeah, just pour it in, dude.
I thought that was gonna hit. Actually, I don't remember what's going on. I didn't see what happened in that game. But I did remember that Amad Diallo got the winner there.
Yeah.
I got an interesting bet. So my first look for this was, so midweek yesterday, I guess, I took Chelsea 20 or more shots against Manchester United. So I went to Liverpool. So I was like, okay, can we get 20, 21 shots for Liverpool? But we're getting minus however many odds. You had to go all the way up to 24, 25 shots for Liverpool to get close to even odds. In terms of how many shots they're going to get. And then I started looking at the other side of it, and I was like, wait a minute, Manchester United, 15 shots, plus 170, 14 shots, a little lower than that. If you want to be safer, you can take Manchester United 13 or 14 shots. But my bet is Manchester United 15 or more shots and plus 170. I just think them playing at home is going to be enough here just to hit 15 shots. Maybe not. I mean, we saw the six shots in the reverse fixture earlier in the season, though we did get 18 regular time shots in the FA Cup match, and that game was at Old Trafford. So I think it kind of depends on – also, I mean, we should say that the last time these teams played, Bruno Fernandes was out, and they took an extremely – more of an extreme defensive approach in that one. But I think this just depends on how is Erik ten Hag going to want to attack this game. You know, coming off – this terrible loss on Thursday, coming off that loss, short week here, now they're back at home. Like, what is the motivation here going to be? What is the motivation tactic going to be for Ten Hag? Is he going to have his team just sit back the entire way, or are they going to kind of go for it a little bit, kind of like that FA Cup match? And I'm kind of thinking, you know, back home, they still have that, they can still remember beating Liverpool, so they know that they can.
They can do it.
They know they can do it. So I just think at home against Liverpool, a team that isn't as good defensively away from home, I just think that if they can't get 15 or more shots here, then Ten Hag is done at the end of the season, is what I'll say.
I mean, I think he's done at the end of the season regardless.
Yeah.
I don't think this game, I mean, if they get like, the doors run off on here, I think he might be gone, but like, especially after that heart-wrenching loss on Thursday. But I think they won't get blown out of the water like quite that badly. But yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, The clip I saw going around Twitter this morning. So yesterday, Antony got the kind of surprise start over Rashford. But the clip this morning was Rashford. Cole Palmer had the ball in like the defensive third. And he was just dribbling it down the pitch. This is like 83rd, 84th minute. And Rashford is just like following alongside him, jogging alongside, not even like trying to do anything. Exactly. He's just like, hey, here you go. Palmer ended up passing to someone. And then Rashford just like, he's done with the play kind of thing. It's like, okay, maybe Rashford isn't going to start this match based off that. Maybe the team morale isn't 100%. And that was when they're winning 3-2. So coming off a loss, I don't know. Maybe team morale is going to be down in the dumps here. And this is Chris's Liverpool -1.5 bet is looking good. But
I would be ecstatic if this hit. But oh, yeah, I mean, Rashford – hard to believe that he'll be in a United shirt next season. I feel like his, you know, I've always enjoyed him, but like, he's just, the welcome is gone. Like, he grew up there. He's been there long enough. I feel like a change of scenery would really be helpful.
It's been a wild, I guess, 1 year even. I mean, it was rough, I guess a little more than 1 year, 18 months.
Yeah.
He had like 10 straight matches where he scored or whatever he was doing last season. Yeah. He was awesome. He finished with 17 goals and then he never found that form again. And he just really hasn't been that great this season. Garnacho has been better than him and he's getting benched for Antony in a, you know, match against Chelsea. So it's not great for him.
To be fair to Antony and Garnacho, that goal, the third goal they scored, was like of the highest class. It was so, so good. Just Antony grabs the ball on the right wing and then like takes a moment. He's like, am I going to hit this with my right foot and swing it like back out towards him? And he's like, no, let me just hit this outside of the boot, like across the pitch, like perfectly. Garnacho, like a cushioned header. That was, I don't know, that was one of the best goals I've seen in the past probably few weeks.
Do you think Andrew Robertson is going to let him do that, Antony?
Maybe. We'll see if he gets the start. I think Gomez was on the – he started on Thursday. And then Robertson came in and then did assist Gakpo for that third goal. But he hasn't really found his form, you know, since he's come back from that collarbone. He's been fine, you know, but not like
– Well, he just also is coming off an ankle injury too, so.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I think Klopp's – belief in Joe Gomez is like sky high right now. He'll just like play him wherever he can until Trent is back, like whether it's left back or right back. I think Gomez is kind of a locked in starter, and it's, you know, either Bradley or Robertson that's gonna find the bench.
They should also get Endo back. Endo was out yesterday, but Klopp said this morning that he should be there.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But we got a single game parlay for the team parlay. And we're looking at this Wolverhampton-West Ham match. I think it's pretty interesting because I actually kind of like it a little bit in terms of West Ham. I'm just going to lay it out a little bit here. So Wolverhampton, they got all these injuries. Pedro Neto's out. Bellegarde's out. Craig Dawson probably going to be out. I don't believe Heechan's going to be back either. But they got Cunha back. We'll see if he's able to start. But they're just kind of riding thin in terms of attacking players. Last time these teams played, 3-0. It just feels like a perfect spot for like this David Moyes West Ham team. Like they are the tried and true go on the counter team. David Moyes knows how to play like this. Wolverhampton has done it many times this season against top competition where they're just going on the counter, getting goals, beating teams like Manchester City. West Ham, they get back their defensive enforcer and Edson Álvarez from a two-match suspension. It just feels like Moyes knows how to play against himself, and it feels like a good West Ham spot. But I don't think either one of us are on that money line, but do you kind of see it similarly? Or Wolverhampton at home, maybe there's a bigger boost there.
I kind of hate, you know, we mentioned Tottenham and West Ham last week, but I hate betting on them. I don't really believe in West Ham that much, although they're like having a pretty solid season. I like Wolves at home here. I think the money line plus 150 is kind of interesting. You look back at the previous, five matches here, the home team has won. It's been, 3-0, 1-0, 2-0, 1-0, 1-0. So if you like a bet where it's a gold, a gold and nil, consider that as like a kind of a spicier bet. I think the return of Edson Álvarez certainly helps him in the middle. He's kind of a – is it Suchek that would drop off? Or is it
Ward-Prowse was actually starting over. Ward-Prowse is going to be benched, I believe.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, he was benched before the Álvarez suspension.
Okay, interesting. So they'll go Suchek and Álvarez is kind of like their double pivot, I guess, and then play the other four in front of them.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I like the plus Wolves at home. It's just they're tough. They're tough to beat. They're tough to take points off. I'm on this game with a under. I have a – what is it? Under 2.5, I believe. Is plus 115. So that's my end of the parlay here. I think, like I said, I mentioned a couple of their previous results. I think it's maybe not the most attacking game. I think there's two, I guess Bowen has pretty good pedigree in front of that. But other than that, I feel like it's a pretty low scoring affair in this game.
Yeah. It feels like a 1-1 kind of spot and fresh in Chris's mind. The West Ham 1-1 result. But it feels like another one where you're just getting like two goals off a counter and then that's kind of it. One team will try and push for a little bit, then the other team will try and push for a little bit. They'll both try and counter, but when two teams want to counter against each other, that's kind of when it means it's a little, I guess it depends on the team is what I'll say. Sometimes it leads to higher scoring matches, but so this is a single game parlay. You could take these by themselves. Chris's under 2.5 goals is plus 115 by itself. I'm taking under 4.5 corners in the first half. This was one of my favorite bets last season, but I just really haven't done it as much this season because we have these extended stoppage times, which kind of kill some of these first half, second half bets a little bit. It kind of is one of the reasons we're getting so many goals this season. We just saw it, I'm just trying to bring this all up for Chris here. We just saw it in this Manchester United match, just all these goals in extended stoppage time. But I just think that with kind of what I said of two counterattacking teams playing against each other, West Ham aren't a team that, I don't know, just in terms of this matchup, like there isn't one noticeable edge outside of, granted, I do think like the West Ham attacking pieces and Paqueta and Kudus are a pretty noticeable edge here just because of the absences of Wolverhampton. So I guess that might be the one edge here in terms of personnel. And then you also got Jared Bowen there as well. We'll see if Cunha starts for Wolverhampton, but I don't think that we're going to get like one of these teams sitting in the attacking third for, 20 minutes or something in this first half where they're just going to rack up corners, rack up opportunities. I just don't think that's going to happen. So I got under 4.5 corners in the first half. By itself, it's minus 110. But if you put these together in a single game parlay, under 4.5 corners in the first half, under 2.5 goals, that's plus 340 odds. All right, Chris. So I think it's like the last 10 team parlays. One of us has got it right. One of us has got it wrong. So are we both getting it right this time?
I'm 2-0 in my last two team parlays. So you tell me.
You know what? Who was 3-0 in the prior three?
It's a what have you done for me lately kind of league here. So
I could pull the records back up. I'll show you what I've done.
I'm down 1.5 to you, it looks like.
The parlay records, yeah.
Overall, we got it's the business end of the season. This is where it's the climb to 500 here. We got a, I got a plus 190 bet, which is out of what I'm typically operating as. So
you got a plus 140, plus 190. You're going for it.
We got some higher odd bets here. So I'm not playing any games anymore. And you notably last week came up over the Mendoza line here at 500. So good, you know, kudos to you, if you will.
Mohamed Kudus. Yeah, nice little run here for my bets is what I'll say. We just got to keep it. We got to keep it going. This is the business end. We can't let up. We got to stay focused. We got to keep going. Keep going. We're not giving up here.
We need like the Mikel Arteta. What does he say in the like all or nothing? Like, anyways, he's got some iconic quotes. That's just ringing in my brain here as we get ready to head out into the tunnel.
I only made it through halfway that season. Let's see. What do we got? Cheat sheet is up. rotowire.com/soccer trial. Here's the FPL cheat sheet. Hopefully you captain Cole Palmer midweek. I actually captained, I think it captain Darwin. I captain Darwin over Cole Palmer. Unfortunately, he did get a goal.
I had Salah. So there you go.
That's no good either. Salah did not score or assist. And he went off at like the 60th minute.
Yeah.
So that's too bad there. Manchester City at Crystal Palace. You were looking at this game for one of your parlays. Tottenham, also a big favorite. And then Chelsea, the next biggest favorite. Couple interesting things here. So we talked about Arsenal. We talked about Liverpool. You think Man City are going to have any issues here winning at Glasner's Crystal Palace?
No, I don't think so. I looked at what was it? I think it was Man City was -1.5. The spread was -1.5 for them to win. It's -110. I kind of like that bet as well. That's what I was considering for my parlay. You brought this up that like Palace have given them a little bit of trouble. And so maybe it's like a 1-0 kind of affair. But I honestly think this game's like 3-0 and like Palace lost recently. Was that to Brentford? I forget who it was.
Bournemouth,
yeah. Bournemouth in great form as well. I consider them for another bet, but ultimately, you know, settled on the Wolves West Ham game. And yeah, I mean, if you are looking for a good one, the Man City -1.5 is -110 is a pretty, seems like it would be a pretty good bet.
I'm still not certain that, you know, Man City are at their peak just yet. We both lost our bets in that Man City Aston Villa match.
Yeah.
Right before the game, Emi Martinez ruled out. And then, you know, a lot of Villa fans were kind of ticked off a little bit at Emery for just rotating the side. Zaniolo started, Iragbunim started in the midfield. Pau Torres didn't start at defense. Luka Dina, who's notably, I don't know, either way. But then they had that Phil Foden free kick goal where Zaniolo like moved out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, they scored four goals, but I'm still not positive like this Man City team is clicking on all cylinders. Granted, okay, Haaland and De Bruyne didn't play in that game, but even with those guys, I don't think they've been full go here. So I think maybe that kind of goes in there. I think that's the first game there on Saturday. That's the early game. I may look at that under kind of a thing there.
Yeah, that wall for the Phil Foden free kick goal was, you know, pretty similar to that Ivan Toney goal where he like moved the ball against Nottingham Forest, and like the wall essentially was like it wasn't even there, you know, like Zaniolo just like, oh yeah, hey, let me shuffle out of the way so you can have your like hip height free kick just go into the back of the net to take the lead. But I mean, the other two Foden goals were sick, so don't get me wrong. Like,
yeah, well, basically a bit of Phil Foden brilliance against a team that was down their top three defensive midfielders because McGinn was suspended in that one as well. So Tielemans is another guy. Either way, that was that game. So I just want to pull up the odds here. Man City are -310 to win. Arsenal -160. Liverpool -165. Do you think all three teams win?
Talking like a little parlay here, just
Maybe parlay. We got a plus 245 money line parlay. Also, just looking towards the future here in the Premier League table.
I think
this is a pretty big week here, just in terms of the top of the table. Just three somewhat difficult road trips here. I think that it's going to be pretty important here.
Yeah, City, I would give the most confidence. Second, I would give I'll give Liverpool the second most confidence, and then Arsenal third. If I had to rank my I think they all win, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had to rank them in terms of, it's like, you know, the NFL pick 'em thing where you have to address points to it. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be
fun game week.
Yeah, exactly. Have you changed any of your futures bets here for the? They haven't really changed a whole lot since last Sunday. I feel like we still got Liverpool plus 110, City's plus 200, Arsenal plus 275.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. When we talked Tuesday.
Yeah, so we would need somebody to drop points for this to change at all.
Yeah, I think just looking at the schedule here, if you're watching YouTube or Twitter, give a thumbs up. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. I just like this Man City, this schedule a little more. Luton Town at Brighton. Okay, that's what Arsenal has right now. At Nottingham Forest, home against Wolves. At Fulham, home against West Ham. Like, I kind of like that route. And then you throw that with them having the second best odds to win. I kind of like their schedule the most.
The plus 200 odds is pretty solid for them. If you are like, let me get like, now is the time, you know, I think.
Yeah. You just got to pinpoint spots where these other teams are dropping points. And yeah,
I mean, 35 through 37 for both Arsenal and Liverpool at Tottenham for Arsenal. That's going to be such a spicy game.
Yeah.
I mean, Bournemouth at home. Bournemouth have been, like I said, I think they won four of their past five. We'll see what kind of form they're in then. But then at Man United, like, I don't know. And then Liverpool, of course, have at West Ham, Tottenham at home, at Aston Villa. Those are all like pretty tough matchups.
Yeah, I mean, you got this stretch right here, and then you also have the Merseyside Derby there, which is at Everton as well. So it should be pretty interesting, but I kind of like the remaining schedule here for Man City the most. I think that's what's standing out.
Yeah, tough for here. Like, if you had to pick any a game that they're going to drop points, I think it's at Brighton, but other than that, you're like, see them taking all three in most of those games.
Yeah. All right, that's all we got. That's enough title talk here. You can find Chris at CHROWEN8 on Twitter. I'm at RotoSDrug. Also, RotoWire Soccer. Thank you for listening to this. We'll give a shout-out to Chris for his rebound of a weekend in terms of his bets. A lot of corner bets here. He's coming over to the bright side. Yeah. He's coming over to the bright side and betting corners. So we'll see if they can come up winners. But good luck in your bets, everyone. And we'll be back next week. Fortunately, I think we're done with midweek shows here going forward. I believe that's the case. But we'll see everyone next week. Good luck in your bets.
Thanks, Adam.